Sitting across the mic here from me, in a chair about the same size as mine, though the gentleman differs in size, Big Bill Brunsey, all 6'2" of him. Big Bill, probably the great blues singer of our time, one of the great blues artists, and we're going to try to find out what makes Big Bill tick. The guitar you hear in the background is the brother of Big Bill. That's his bosom brother, his guitar there. Bill, how would you describe the blues? What is a blues song?
Well, blues is really came from the way people live and the way they some of them the way they are treated and to the places where they live and the work they do.
In other words, the blues deals with the daily lives of people.
That's right.
The kind of work they do, the way they live from day to day. Blues is songs about the experience of people. But how many blues songs have you written, Bill?
260.
260 blues. How far back does that go? That is,
well, the first blues that I made, put on record, was 1925.
How do you go about writing a blues? Where do the ideas come from?
Well, the main thing about writing the blues is to get any kind of a thing that you can think of. Well, we'll just say a knife, a razor, or a woman, or whatever. Just take a knife. Well, how many things you think you could do with a knife? You could maybe trim your toenails with it, or you could cut a stick with it, or then you could kill a man with it, too, you know.
And so this knife, this woman, this job you do, part of your life, how many...
That's right.
What that means to you in your life, and so you work a song out dealing with the knife.
Well, it's maybe you can think of more than five things that you could do with a knife, you know, so you get five verses.
What's the first blues song? I know blues is just an integral part of your life, Bill. What's the first blues song you remember?
Well, they didn't call it a blues. The first one that I heard of was my uncle used to play it. They called it Crying Joe Turner.
This was down in Mississippi?
That was in Mississippi, yeah. And they called it a reel at that time. And I remember him coming home once, and he started playing that around the house, and my mother kicked him out of the house on account of him playing that because she didn't allow reels to be played in the home.
Because
my mother was church, you know, she was a church woman. See.
Your mother was a very religious woman,
yeah.
And this song, this non-religious song, this reel, this blues was considered sinful. Is that the idea?
That's it, yeah.
And so he couldn't play this song in the house.
That's right.
And he couldn't take his instrument in the house with him either, you see. This is your uncle, you say.
No, my mother.
Your mother prevented your uncle, her brother,
that's
from singing
brother,
it in the house.
Yeah.
Your mother is still alive.
Yeah.
How
he
old is
too.
She?
My uncle is alive, too. My mother's 102 and my uncle's 105.
And they were both slaves.
Yeah, they were slaves.
This song, Crying Joe Turner, this goes, you might say, goes back to the slavery days, maybe.
Well, it must, too, because my uncle played it, and he sung it because they had confidence in this man. If they really needed something, they'd always figure that he would come around.
This man you're talking about
something.
Is Joe Turner.
Yeah.
He's sort of a Santa Claus, sort of good Samaritan who comes through in a pinch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how'd that go? Do you remember it, Bill?
Well, this is the way my uncle taught it to me, but since then I've heard it played so many different ways since then, but this is the way that he played it all the time. This song was written back in 1892. And while poor people all cried and sung this song, because it was a terrible flood that year, and the drought come and killed all their crops, and the flood come and taken all their belongings. And the only man they know to go to for help was Joe Turner. Joe Turner was known to be a man that would help all poor people, the white and the black. And they would start crying and singing this song. Tell me Joe Turner been here and gone. Lord, they tell me Joe. time I've been here and gone. They tell me, Joe, time I've been here and gone. They never'd go out hunting for rabbits, coons, and possums, anything that they could catch to eat. Sometime they would catch something, sometime they'd come home and they wouldn't have nothing to eat. Then they would look in their kitchens, and they would find flour, meat, molasses that Joe Turner had been there and left there for them. Then they'd know that Joe Turner had been there. And they would start crying and shouting and singing this song. Turner been here and gone. Now they tell me, Joe, Turner been here and gone. Now they tell me, Joe, Turner been here and gone. They never know. When they looked in their kitchens and seed all this flour, meat, and molasses, that Joe Turner had done something good for them. And they'd all get happy, and they would start shouting and dancing, and they would do a little boogie-woogie too. That's the way my uncle used to play it on a five-string banjo.
Well, Bill, that song, then, we think of blues as a song of sadness, song of misery. Here's a song, then, that has hope to it that's a blues, too. I mean, out of the disaster, the flood of 1892, and, say, a drought, people hope for better things, and Joe Turner is a symbol of that. Is that the idea?
Well, yeah, because they lost everything they had, and in fact, the business, some of them didn't get a chance to get anything out of their crops of that whole year, see?
So they bank on this fella they hope will show up with this idea. Well, Bill, I know you're going to retune the guitar now, so while you're retuning, you see, the guitar of Bill was specially tuned for Crying Joe Turner. He's going to untune it now for the next one. As he's doing that, I'm going to talk about Mississippi blues singers. Bill, you're known as a Mississippi blues singer. How does that differ from a blues singer from the rest of the country, see?
Well, you take a fellow like Lonnie Johnson.
He's from New Orleans.
Lonnie Johnson from New Orleans. Well, they live different in New Orleans than we do in Mississippi.
You mean more of a city life? Is that what you mean?
And then the main thing is what they live, what they raise, what they make a living with in Louisiana. You take the Louisiana people; they work on the docks. Maybe some of them with a little sugar cane they raise around there, maybe a little rice or something like that. See. But you take the Mississippi people, they live off of the cotton and corn and potatoes and stuff like that they raise, you know. Then they don't just raise maybe a half an acre, they raise hundreds and hundreds of acres of cotton and corn and potatoes. And in fact, the business, they really farms down there, you know. It's not like around New Orleans, those people there, they live, their life are different, and they... I don't know. That's what I said, and that's what makes the difference in the blues, because
Because the life is different. Yeah. Blues deals with life, daily life. And so a Mississippi song is more of a shouting song. You say, one time...
Sometime you shout the blues. That's just like if a guy's been in bed for so long, and then he happened to get lucky and make some money, then he shout the blues. But if a guy, maybe he worked in some place and he didn't get any money at all, well... He don't feel happy then.
No, he doesn't feel like shouting. Then you once said to me, another difference music between the New Orleans singer and the Mississippi singer is that the New Orleans man is more of a technical musician and not as much feeling as the Mississippi.
Well, I would call it that because the regular jazz, you'll have to, at least I said it's you'll have to give that to New Orleans because those. Because we did play some jazz. We had fellas down there in Mississippi that did play jazz, but it wasn't like the New Orleans jazz.
I mean, you described the guitar you play, the way you play it, as plucking blue notes, whereas Lonnie of New Orleans, Lonnie Johnson, would pluck chords. Give him this more feeling, less.
Well, you take a fella like Lonnie. If he make a. But I'll get this tune through.
For those who may have tuned in late, Bill is retuning the guitar while we're talking here. You know what I'm thinking of, Bill? You worked behind a plow in New Orleans.
No, in Mississippi.
In Mississippi, rather, is what I meant. You worked behind a plow in Mississippi. More plows used there than in the city of New Orleans. And since
say they don't use plows there, but I think the most of plows they use there, they push them. They don't have nothing to pull on.
Mm-hmm. You do the pushing and the pulling, both. And out of that, since blues deal with the daily experience of a man, you wrote a song called The Plowhand Blues. I mean, I think this would be kind of an example here of out of your life coming a music. Now, here's an example of the plow, the idea of a plow, what it does when you start writing a song about it.
They have a blue note is a... See, if you make a chord like this, it should be C. Now, Lonnie would play a chord like that. Or maybe one like this, you know. Or like this. But see, we blues singers, we wouldn't play that.
Here's what comes to you.
It's the same thing.
That's the way you play it.
Yeah. How in Mississippi.
In Mississippi.
Yeah.
And how would the plowhand blues go?
In the key of A, but now a real musician, he would even make A like this.
In your case, there's more of your own feeling goes into it, so it's never the same way.
That's the way we play. That's what we call blue notes.
Let's see you blue note that plow hand.
Plowhand had been my name, Lord, for 40 years or more. Plowhand had been my name, Lord, for 40 years or more. Lord, I'd a clown through with pine. Ooh, Lord, trying to take care of my so-and-so. I ain't gonna raise no more cotton. I'd a clown ain't gonna try to raise no corn. I ain't gonna raise no more cotton. Lord, I'd a clown gonna try to raise no corn. Now, if a mule started running away with the world, ooh,
Lord, how the clown gonna let him go head on? I wouldn't tell a mule to get up. No, if he'd sit down in my lap. I wouldn't tell a mule to get up. No, if he'd sit down in my lap. I'd have climbed through it blind. Ooh, Lord, that's what killed my old grandpa. Every night I'm hollering, would you get up in my sleep? Every night I'm hollering, would you get up in my sleep? Now I'm always setting my back burn back. Ooh, Lord, to keep my little plow from going too deep.
Always wanted to ask you that question about the guitar. How did you get to learn to play the guitar? How long ago was that?
Well, I first started out playing a fiddle.
This was a fiddle you started playing, you say?
Yeah.
When you were a boy?
Yeah, I was around 12, 14 years old.
When, did you buy this fiddle?
No, I made it.
You made it?
Yeah, me and a boy named Louis Carter.
And you made it out of what?
We made it out of a cigar box.
Cigar box?
Yeah.
What were the strings?
And a broom handle, and we had, we'd get a piece of strings and things from Haywire, and sometimes we'd use strings from this guy, C.C. Ryder. A lot of times he'd break one of his rail strings on his violin, fiddle, wasn't it?
Well, you mentioned C.C. Ryder. That's the name of a blues. There was a man by the name of C.C. Ryder?
Yeah, that was the name they called him. I never did know his real name. But he was the guy that would, about the only man down there that could ride any train or boat or carriage, whatever they had that for transportation. He never had to pay any fare. He just get on it and ride.
Because he was known as C.C. Ryder, the man with the fiddle.
No, well, not just that, but he was known as a guy of an entertainer.
And the great entertainer.
Yeah, and he played around for all the white people around down through there in them days, and they let him ride on anything that was going from Washington, from one town to the other town, Washington, he wanted to
go. Well, the C.C. Ryder blues, and that's his. That's the original.
Yeah, well, that.
How'd that go, as you recall, as a boy, C.C. Ryder?
I'd come in from this is the way he used to play it all the time. And the way he sung it when he played it. C.C. Ryder, see what you done down. C.C. Ryder, see what you done down. C.C. Ryder, see what you done down. You have made me love you, and now your man done come. My home is on the water, don't like no land at all. My home's on the water, don't like no land at all. My home's on the water, don't like no land at all. I'm gonna leave ya, baby, because I'm tired of being your dog. You could sing that all night, you know. But
yeah,
I just
give thousands
him an
of
idea
verses.
The way he sings.
He says, my home is on the water. I don't like land no more. In other words, he was sort of a traveling man.
Yeah,
he
always
traveled light.
He always, from one town to another, see, and he always rode boats. You know, the guys that owned a boat down there that was carrying cotton or cotton seeds or corn or potatoes or whatever, they was transferring from different places on by boats. Why, C.C. Ryder get on the boat and go any place he wanted.
So it's his violin and himself. They were the ticket of admission.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, I know you've hit just about every state in the Union. You've traveled a lot. And there's one song that you've written, I know. Is this one of the earliest ones you've written, that Make of My Getaway?
Well, that was back around the first time when I first started playing.
Well, this is kind of a getaway song. This is how did you get to write that? How'd you get to write this, Megan? It's a travel song like C.C. Ryder's.
This song wasn't just nicely sung by one man. This song was originally from a gang of workers that working on jobs. Why that a lot of times you'd when I first run off from home, I left home, as they call it, running off. And I left from home while we got in. I got into a place. Me and a boy that left home with me. The name was Louis. And me and him got into a place, and all we could get was clothes and food. And we never did get no pay.
So you were stuck there.
Yeah, and he was afraid to tell the man you was going to leave. So we'd all sing the day that we was going to leave. That night we'd start singing this song that day.
You mean when one of you would head out north, you wouldn't want the fellow who employed you to know this, but you want the other fellows to know?
No, because you couldn't leave.
Yeah. And so
and if you let the henchmen of his, what we call henchmen, we call them fat mouths and lard mouths.
Fellows who
them.
Talk too much, you mean?
Well, they'd go and tell
them
if they heard about it, if they know what you was leaving.
Well, then this is sort of a hidden language. It's sort of double talk. You just want the fellas you know to leave, and you sing a straight.
Well, you wasn't what you call it. You wouldn't be a prisoner.
No.
But the thing about it, the man wouldn't pay you, and in fact, the business just keep you there, and you work, and you get clothes and plenty of food, and we wanted money, you know.
You're stuck, and you wanted to head out.
And so he wouldn't pay you, so you'd instead of just going up, tell him, say, well, I'm going to leave tomorrow, see. Well, we wouldn't do that. We just sang that day on the job, and we're leaving out that night.
And that's how Making My Getaway came into being.
Town gal, but if I can feel tomorrow, yeah, like I feel today, yeah, so I'm gonna pack up in the morning. Not a climb gonna make my getaway. No need to weep, baby. No need to weep and moan. You done me wrong now, baby. Now today I'm gone, gal, if I can just feel tomorrow. Yeah, baby, like I feel today. Yes, I'm gonna pack up in the morning. Not a climb, gonna make my getaway. Bye, bye, Arkansas. Hello, Missouri. I'm on my way up north now, baby. Out of clad ain't no fooling, gal, if I can just feel tomorrow. Yeah, baby, like I feel today. Yes, I'm gonna pack up in the morning. Out of class, I'm gonna make my getaway.
Bill, that's pretty close to being an Underground Railway song in a way. That is, it says one thing and has a deeper meaning. Bill, your mother, you say, is a very devout Christian.
Well, yeah, she's always been, ever since I know.
But she doesn't allow blues to be sung in the house. You can't bring your guitar in the house when you visit.
No, not when I go there. I don't ever take it over there. I keep it over
there. Well, I'm sure, as a boy then, you must have learned a lot of camp meeting songs and...
Well, I know a gang of them, as I do.
Well, do you recall some from your boyhood that you may have learned from your mother or your...
Yes, I know Ananias. And
these are
stay in the field and you gotta stand your test and judgment.
Well, that you gotta stand your test and judgment. Yeah, that goes back probably to slavery days, really, I suppose. Since you say your mother was
a
slave.
Well, they sung them songs before I was born.
You gotta stand your test and judgment. You gotta do it all by yourself.
Yeah, that's the way they sung it in them days. Of course, I don't think they even sing them now. The Christian people that sings in church now, if they do, they got it a little different, dressed up as I call it, because they wouldn't sing it like my foreparents sung it back in them days. Because the younger people now, they're educated and they've added music to those songs.
Yeah,
and
the feeling.
Well, the feeling
still the same.
They don't care about the feeling now. They think about the class and the style and the different. It's just same as me now. I'm 60 years old, but I wouldn't want to wear a suit my dad wore when he was 22.
That's true. Well, how would you sing Make My Test and Judgment?
Well, I have to sing it the way that I learned it.
Well, how would that go?
60 years ago, baby. I can't dress it up because I don't know how. I'm not that experienced.
Well, I've heard you sing this. Don't dress it up.
Now you gotta stand your test and judgment. Man, you gotta stand there for yourself. There ain't nobody here gonna stand there for you. Oh, brother, you got to stand there for yourself. Man, you got to cross the river of Jordan. Man, you got to cross there for yourself. Ain't nobody here gonna cross that for you. Oh, brother, you got to cross that for yourself. Man, you got to lay down and die. Man, you got to lay that for yourself. Ain't nobody here gonna lay that for you. Brother, you got to lay that for yourself.
Well, I can't think of a better moral when you gotta stand up by yourself and you don't bank on anybody else but yourself. Your test and judgment. Bill, so far, you've touched on songs that deal with daily life. This dealt with belief, work song, the plowhand blues, travel song, that C.C. Ryder, Making My Getaway. You mentioned earlier big things in the life of any man, women, love. What about blues and a love song, a man-woman love blues of a sort? You've written, of the 260 you've written, I'm sure a good number have dealt with a man, a woman, and an idea.
Well, a lot of times a guy writes a blues and he writes it about a woman. A lot of times he don't have to be in love with that particular name that he's singing about, the woman that's got that particular name. And then sometimes they do, but most and generally the time that a blues singer sang a blues, really for a fact he wouldn't just come out and say the real woman that he was singing about. He'd sing about one woman and meant for another woman. Because they don't do that. See, it's the same as if it's something I wanted to tell a man that I didn't like. I tell him through a song.
Through a song.
Well, I would never use his name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing if you love the woman. You wouldn't come out and say the same as the song Willie Mae.
Yeah.
Now, to sing a song about Willie Mae, well, Willie Mae, you know, is...
She could be anybody.
That's it.
See. Yeah. You just take the name Willie Mae, but it might
but
be...
It means a woman that I'm really in love with.
Rose, might be anybody
love.
Else.
Could
that's
be,
right.
Yeah, anybody. You know. Don't... Got a gal named Willie Mae, and she lives in the Lolo land. I've got a gal named Willie Mae, and she lives in the Lolo land. Lord, the way I got that woman, out of cloud stole her from a man. All my life, babe, you knew I had to roam. Lord, now all my life, Willie Mae, you know I've had to roam. Lord, just on account of me breaking up one poor man's home. Willie Mae, Willie Mae. Willie Mae, don't you hear me calling you? Lord, if I don't get my Willie Mae, there ain't no other woman will do. When I get a thinking about Willie Mae, cold chill run up and down my spine. When I get a thinking about Willie Mae, cold chills run up and down my spine. Lord, sometime I wished I was dead, but Willie Mae, you know I'm afraid of dying. I'm gonna leave him, baby, and I'm going on down the line. I'm gonna leave him, Willie Mae, and I'm going on down the line. Lord, I don't do nothing, yeah, Willie Mae, but grieve and cry. You know I don't do nothing here, Willie Mae, but grieve and cry.
Willie Mae, or whatever her name might be. But Bill, what other part of life haven't we dealt with? How about children? Now, I don't know if there are blues songs about, but there are songs about children that you do know, I know, with that guitar. I mean, in your travels, you've come across children, so you've heard them sing, or I guess you've heard mothers sing the children. Perhaps you yourself have been
rocked
to sleep with a certain song.
A lot of those old songs that a lot of people get them tangled up with same as a lot of people have told me in my traveling around the world, that all Negroes that sings, he sings jazz. But to me and all the Negroes that I've talked with, the jazz musicians and the ones that sing poplars and ballads and things, they think it's different. They think, according to some of the people in the world that I've met since I've been traveling in Europe, they've told me that Me and Mahalia sings the same thing. It's all the same.
Mahalia Jackson sings gospel music, and you sing the blues.
I sing the blues. Well, they say it's all jazz. Yeah.
Well, in other words, this is a stereotype. This is, see, these people have one narrow idea. That's all they know. They just accept. They just don't know. And the idea of this show, perhaps,
well,
I don't think
I don't think I sing the same style that Marian Anderson sing. I don't think I'm singing.
Well, she has one style. She has
different.
One contribution.
We're both
and you make
but
another
I don't think we're doing the same thing.
but you and Marian Anderson, Bill, contribute to America a great deal of richness, each in your own way.
I hope to do some good for the American Negro blues singers. That's the people I want to help, because the people like Marian Anderson, they don't need no help.
Well, you're doing more than
Billy
that.
Billy Eckstein and fellows like them people, and Billy Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, those people, they don't need no help. It's the blues singers is the one that's the one that's getting kicked in the face all the time, you know, because blues, they're trying to look like they're trying to get the real blues out of circulation. They're trying to get the more bop into it.
Yeah, in other words, you feel that the blues, the authentic blues, is being pushed around a lot in various entertainment places.
You take a fella like Muddy Water, Smokey Hog, Lightning Hopkins, and John Lee Hooker, and a fella like Brownie McGee.
These are all great blues singers.
Now, them fellows, I don't say, they're not no greater than the other fellows, what I mean.
You name them as
in
examples.
In the field.
Yeah.
But I mean, them fellows are real blues singers, and they're singing the real blues that was that I learned when I was a kid.
In other words, people are a little scared of the real thing. In this world of ours today, they get scared of something that's too real, and they shy away from it and they dress it up. Is that what you mean?
They've hired me to go all the way from here to Europe.
You've been to Europe about four times now.
It's my fourth trip. Mm-hmm. And they hired me and paid me a big salary to go all the way to Europe to play. And they said they don't want nothing but the real blues. And when I get there and the agent talked to me and send me out on the stage, he wants me to play Frank and Johnny and Old Man Rivers.
Old Man River. Well, maybe this is part of the illness of our time, Bill.
But you see, they should hire Billy Eckstein. Somebody can sing that. I can't sing that.
You're a little too real for him, Bill.
Well, that's it.
Getting back to the real
thing. But they say they want the real thing until they hear it, and then they don't want
it. That's it. There's nothing more real than children. Nothing more real than young people.
No, children keeps the world going.
That's it. Now, what about that children's song that you know that you've heard and that
we didn't really call it a children's song, but I've known old people down there in my hometown down around that. The first guy that I heard singing this thing was a guy that called Fast Black. He used to play with my uncle, and also with this guy C.C. Ryder.
C.C. Ryder.
He played a guitar that he made out of a good box, and he used to play that, and he used to travel around. He told me that he'd been up in Kentucky and Tennessee, and he worked in the coal mines and up in there. And he came back with this new song, and they called it Crawdads.
Crawdad.
Well, I've heard after he stayed around and sung it, everybody liked it. And after that, then the older women, the women that had kids, and I've heard them sing it and sing it as a lullaby, you know. And so after we got to playing it around, we started off as a lullaby or something like that, and then we'd jazz it up, you know.
How did it go?
To dance by.
Like the crawdad, little crawfish. This is the little crawfish.
Well, yeah.
The Gulf.
You get a line, and I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line, I'll get a pole, babe. You get a line, and I'll get a pole. Now let's go down to that crawdad's hole. Now, honey, baby mine. Now come a man with a sack on his back. Now, honey. Now come a man with a sack on his back, babe. Now come a man with a sack on his back. He's got more crawdads than he can pack. Now, honey, baby mine.
man fell down and he broke that sack now, honey. Man fell down and he broke that sack, babe. Man fell down and he broke that sack. You might have seen them crawdads going back, honey, baby mine. What you gonna do when the pond go dry now, honey? What you gonna do when the pond go dry, babe? What you gonna do when the pond go dry? I'm gonna sit on the bank and watch the poor things die, honey, baby mine. What did the hen duck say to the drake now, honey? What did the hen duck say to the drake, babe? What did the hen duck say to the drake? There ain't no crawdads in this lake now, honey, baby mine.
That'd be pretty hard, Bill, to put a little baby to sleep with that one, because yeah, it's so joyful. Sing. He'd want to live. He'd want to get up and sing and dance.
If you're singing that loud, he sure wouldn't go to sleep.
No, that's great. It's tremendous. I'm trying to think of a way now to wind up this little meeting, this get-together we're having here, Bill. And when I think of Bill Brunsey, I think of another pretty big man named John Henry. John Henry, the steel-driving man. Now, we call you the king of blues singers. John Henry was the king of the steel drivers. How did you first come across John Henry?
Well, Frank and Johnny and them things like that. My uncle, I've heard him play them for years.
It's the same uncle who taught you?
When I was a kid, yeah. And those songs, like, they had, there's no end to a song like that. Frank and Johnny and John Henry and
hundreds of verses.
Going down the road feeling bad. That's a song my uncle used to say and used to sing when they was really in trouble. And they had to go to work at a place and they didn't want to work there. And they had to go anyway. And so they'd be going down the road, maybe 50 or 60 of them lined up to go to this place to work. And they'd start singing that song. Yeah, I'll play your voice up so you know that song. Going down this road feeling bad, baby. Going down this road feeling bad, baby. I ain't gonna be treated this way. I'm tired of eating your cornbread and bean, baby. Tired of eating your cornbread and bean, baby. I ain't gonna be treated this way.
I never heard it sung that way before.
Well, that's the way they used to sing it. Like my dad and my uncle. And my dad would sing it. My uncle used to play it on the banjo. I've heard him do that a plenty of time until he joined church.
And it was from him, you learned Crying Joe Turner and John Henry, too. Yeah. When did you start singing John Henry?
I tried it. I tried it way back in the 1930s. I went to New York and I run up on Brownie McGee and Josh White and Led Belly and Pete Seeger and also Burl Ives, all of them. And I'd hear different way they played it. And I tried it, but I couldn't play. I couldn't pick it. I wasn't good enough to pick it on a guitar. So I happened to get in a place and they wanted to hear me play it, and they kept wanting me to sing it. Well, I know the words. I'd been knowing it for years, but I couldn't play it, you know, on my guitar. So I just decided, I said, everywhere I go, they want to hear it, so I'm just going to play it my way. If they like it, it's all right, and if they don't like it, it's all right.
How does your way go?
So I just figured out me a way, and I just play it just like we play a fast time blues, you know. We get tired of playing slow, and we play fast, you know. So I just decided I'd learn how to play. I just play it the way that I play it.
Now, man ain't nothing but a man. before I let your steel drill beat me down. For I will die with that hammer in my heart. Yes, I'll die with that hammer in my hand. I'll die with the hammer in my heart. Yes, I'll die with that hammer in my hand. John Henry said to his shaker, now man, why don't you sing? I'm shaking 12 pounds from my hip on down. Boy, don't you hear that cold steel? Boy, don't you hear that cold steel ring? Now don't you hear that cold steel? Boy, don't you hear that cold steel ring? Poor boy said, just give me a cool drink of water before I die. Give me a cool drink of water before I die. Give me a cool drink of water before I die. Give me a cool drink of water before I die. John Henry went down that railroad track with a 12-pound hammer by his side. Yes, he went down the track, but he never came back. Because he laid down his hammer and he, yes, he laid down his hammer and he died. I'd cry, he laid down his hammer and he, yes, he laid down his hammer and he died. John Henry had a little woman, and the dress that she wore was red. And the last word that I heard that little girl said, she said, I'm going for John Henry Phil. Yes, I'm going for John Henry Phil, dear. I'm going for John Henry Phil. Yes, I'm going for John Henry Phil, dear.
Bill Brunsey, you can sing John Henry, all right. You can play it, too.
Well, I play it just like I play the blues, you know.
A man ain't nothing but a man. That's that lyric in it there, Bill. I think that's about as good a way as any as we can wind up this little talk we had here. Bill Brunsey, Big Bill Brunsey, as far as I'm concerned, just about the greatest blues singer in the world. Just had a little talk with Big Bill Brunsey. Thanks very much, Bill, and I think your songs and your singing and your work and you, the man, will be remembered for a long, long time to come, and I think you've contributed a great deal, overwhelming richness to America. Thanks a lot, Big Bill.